A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Wrestle Culture. They were twos, I was me, wrestling on TV. And if there's somebody calling me on, there you go. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil Chambers from What Culture, to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Dynamite, baby, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture.
Remember when you used to say all of that like a normal person?
No. It's been so long. It's been 84 years. As I said, they're joined by Phil Chambers to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week. It's my new favourite thing to put We The Ones in.
Fair.
Possibly, I'm going to say the only time you're ever going to hear Robbie Williams on this podcast.
Maybe. What's your favourite Robbie Williams song?
Let Me Entertain You. I was going to say none, but I do really like Let Me Entertain You.
Fair.
Like, that's a belter. Angels, not so much.
Not so much. Not so much.
Rude Box, I'm going to go with.
Hey, nice. Mine is Me and My Monkey.
Right, okay. Is that a thing?
That is a thing, yeah.
Well, that's my weekend listening sorted. So I thought we'd jump in straight off the back of that excellent rendition.
Excellent.
Referencing The Bloodline. To talk about the fact that tonight we could have unified tag team champions. Me and Sid sort of discussed this a little bit on the SmackDown preview. It is RK-Bro, of course, against the Usos. All the tag belts on the line. I am going to ask you who the unified champions will be, but I should probably start by asking, do you think there's going to be a finish?
Well, have you seen the thing that
I saw the photo. It's one of those where...
Yeah, is it actually a thing?
I think I saw someone saying, they did something same with Lesnar around WrestleMania, so yeah. Don't buy into it. And I'm like, yeah, probably, that makes sense.
Vince might have seen that and gone, well, screw you guys, I'm going to show you this isn't real. I think it makes more sense to be the Usos
yes.
in the long run of things. And, like, just as a sort of thank you Usos kind of thing, because they've been the absolute pinnacle of the tag team division
yes.
for, what, like 6 years or something now? So if it is a finish, I'm going to go Usos. But, I mean, we've been burnt with this whole tag unification before. Mm. Although last time, to be fair, they just swept the rug out like days before we actually thought we were
going
to get it.
I remember going into that weekend or SmackDown, I should say, going, oh, this is going to be fun. And then waking up, and I think you'd done the news with Gareth.
Yeah.
And it was like...
not anymore.
The unification's been scrapped. And I was like... Or so it was something along those lines. And I was like, oh, cool. So it's for all the belts. It was, yeah. I'll tell you what it was. It was like Roman and Drew added to RK-Bro. And
no, I
was like,
for everything.
Great, for all the belts. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then they went, nope. No, what if it's just, what
it's
if it's
for,
just
nothing.
For nothing? And it was a great match.
Yes.
Main event in WrestleMania Backlash, but it's just for now.
Yeah. Weird. But I'm sure this match is going to be really good fun. Main event of SmackDown, I imagine.
Yeah.
They've been hyping up like this. They've suddenly found themselves in a position in WWE where the tag team division is the best thing on the show.
Yes.
Like, and warranting of main event status and things. Like, they're completely done it by accident, we'll just with this RK-Bro thing.
Throwaway triple threat on Raw. It's one of the best things they've done the entire year.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, whatever it is. I just, like I say, we've been burnt before. I can't see it being a finish. I want it to be a finish because of all the belts that you can possibly unify in that company, tag belts, yeah. Goddamn do it, because that division is pathetic. There's no depth to it whatsoever. And at least if you put it all together on Raw and SmackDown and have like one team float between the two, at least that makes them a bit of depth in that division. And like, a bit like new feuds can actually happen for the first time in God knows how long.
There's certainly an argument I made a while back of like unifying all the tag belts, i.e. including NXT. This is a very different beast to when I was talking about it then.
Yes, this is
I don't see, you know, tag champs going down to face Pretty Deadly, for example, in NXT 2.0. But, yeah, just unify them.
Yeah.
Like,
and get new belts as well. Those belts are old and they are still as ugly as the day they debuted them.
Yeah.
They might have made them silver instead of that bronze penny colour. And they may have had put colourful straps on them for Raw and SmackDown, but they are still ugly-ass belts.
Because they've made some really nice, like the new NXT belts nice.
Yeah,
with
like
the splash of colour. I'm not suggesting it has to be the same as that, but yeah, just...
Yeah. You I know, still quite like the Intercontinental title one as well. Yeah. It's one of the newer ones that they've made. Get something new. Something else to sell as well, surely. Like,
yeah.
They've sold, like, this has got to be one of the longest-running belt designs in recent history?
And it's crap.
And
you're
it
right.
is crap. It's really bad.
I think.
Thanks, Stephanie.
I said this on the SmackDown preview. I think we are getting a result tonight, but not without controversy. Therefore, let's do it back at Hell in a Cell. And I tell you what, Usos inside Hell in a Cell, they could face you and me, and they could probably drag a great match. Well, they've dragged a great match out of you because you've actually worked before. But they can certainly do fantastic things in there, as we saw against. Was it on a kickoff for the Hell in a Cell once with the New Day?
Yeah, when they just felt like, well, screw you guys. We're going to go out there and have an absolute belter.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'd do. And then, like you say, you know, they have got a multitude of tag teams, but at the moment, they're just sort of there.
I mean,
the Street Profits, I love the Street Profits, but they were like, no, you're heels. You're going into WrestleMania as heels. Actually, change your plan. No, you're not your baby faces again.
Oh, you're kind of tweeners. You're a little bit angry, but you've got an edge. You're still baby face, but you've got an edge.
So I think this is the right decision. I hope that they stick with it, and I hope... Do you know what I hope most of all is that they don't split RK-Bro?
Yes.
I've been sat here for the first 6 months of this team going, cool, get to the bit where he RKOs him after a match.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I think this needs to be a sort of Big E leaving the New Day gimmick in terms of they can always come back to it.
Yeah. And I think
it's been sensational, not just in beneficial for Riddle. I think now Riddle is primed for a big solo singles run, which he, you know, could have done before and did do before. But was a bit. People were a bit like, I still don't really know who the hell this guy is and why I should like him.
Yeah,
being associated with Orton has done wonders for him, and he's won us over as he's won Randy over. And also, this is some of the best stuff Randy's done in years for my take.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I have not been the biggest fan of Randy Orton through his career in any way, shape, or form, and this is legitimately the most fun I've had watching Randy Orton since forever.
Yes.
Since back when he was feuding with Foley, probably. I think there's more to this, especially like I think it's safer hands because Randy's in that tag team as well. Like, he definitely has a bit of sway backstage in WWE, let's face it. And I think he'll see that this is the most over he's been in a long time. This is the best crowd reactions he's gotten in a long time. I don't think he'll want to just get rid of that just for a feud that might go a couple of months. It'll probably be good, but then after that, what does that leave him with?
Exactly.
Like, I think he gets more out of this coming out as a baby face. Even if they do start going a separate ways or something like that they do with the New Day, whatever it is, I think he gets more out of this staying as a face. I don't think Riddle gets anything out of it turning on Randy.
No.
And because I don't think Riddle as a heel with this character especially, like, there's no way that would work. You'd get rid of all of the fun parts of Riddle.
Yeah, and there's an argument to be made about some chicanery from, let's say, Paul Heyman, for example, someone involved in the Bloodline going, Usos going, we really don't want to face these anymore because we've had to cheat on SmackDown, and then somehow maybe something happens in the cell that they exploit or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
I suggested to Hamflet a couple of weeks back, because we can't have a hot tag pop if it's in a cell.
Of course.
Unless Randy Orton's locked outside the cell and has to come in and then... But, I think the time when I often sit here with you and say, right, so we've got three big stadium shows. We've got Money in the Bank, we've got SummerSlam, and of course we've got Clash at the Castle. Drew's one. Cody's another.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a rematch for anything else. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Randy Orton's your third guy, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Like, have Cody in Money in the Bank, maybe. Win that. Call a shot at SummerSlam. That's what I'd do if I was booking it. I don't know. Drew at the Castle is a bit of a weird one for me, because I'm suggesting this, but I have to do this convoluted booking where Roman drops one of the titles. He drops the WWE Championship, but his Universal Championship, which is the one he values the most, he retains.
Yeah.
Because technically, Cody, you only said you wanted to win your belt, your dad thing stuff.
Yeah.
So he's still, it's all a bit, you know, no longer undisputed, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, Money in the Bank as a match that no one really buys the pay-per-view for, the title match normally. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton, I can't believe I'm saying it.
Yeah, could well happen. I mean, while you were saying that, it just popped into my head a completely different way to go, which I also don't want to happen. But like, if they did want to extend RK-Bro as a run, there's still other tag teams out there. There's especially brand new things in Edge and the Judgment Day. And we know how much they love Edge versus Randy Orton. How about they do it now as a tag team?
What if you had Riddle and Priest?
Which, no, don't do that. I think your idea is much better.
Yeah, I think most people, though, probably listen to the podcast, were thinking we're going to talk about a different tag team to start off with. A tag team that have dominated the conversation, of course, throughout this week, so that being the time of recording. Women's tag team champions Sasha Banks and Naomi, who left Monday Night Raw. Caused
a hot division.
Caused them to have to change the main event from a six-woman to a one-on-one match, which admittedly...
To a much better match.
It was still great.
No, they changed the match from a much worse match to a better match with a better story.
Yeah, like I've said this throughout this week, I could see the way you book the six-woman, which is two tag teams take each other out, and there's your tag team title match. And then it may be, Asuka pins even Nikki A.S.H.
Yeah.
And Becky goes, well, wait a second, I was never pinned. And then you make it a triple threat, for example, at the premium live event. That's not the direction they've gone in. But we're not here to talk about Bianca Belair versus Asuka. That's going to be in a few weeks' time. We are here to talk about Sasha Banks and Naomi. WWE very much wanted to paint them in a particular light. I'm not even going to say the phrase that people associate with Stone Cold Steve Austin leaving back in the day, because I think it's the wrong phrase to be using.
Yeah.
And they've done press releases. They had Corey Graves saying what Vince McMahon was saying in his ear on commentary. And they've tried to, you know, pit the locker room against them, maybe. There's now reports coming out today that not only Naomi, but also Sasha's contract may be due to expire in coming months. And maybe that's a reason why they felt so headstrong in their decision. Yeah, it was the right thing to do for me. But what's your take on all this?
100%, yeah, I am with them all the way. If you're stuck in a situation that you do not agree with and all of a sudden you have quite a lot of leverage, and they are independent contractors, let's remember, like the sort of business side of the wrestling business is a very, very selfish part of the business. And it has to be, because that's just the sort of the system, the world that wrestling has created. You have to be really selfish in order to get anywhere in this business, whether you're in like a little local indie show all the way up to WWE. It's very, very carny. It's ridiculous. So if you're in a position where you've got a little bit of power, you're the tag champs, you feel like you should be in a much better position, or at least a better story. Like, something needs to happen that makes this better. You've tried your best. You've become merch sellers. You become the champions. You've done everything you can for that company. But your contract's coming up. I guarantee they would easily get offers from elsewhere, whether they have or not. We have no idea, obviously, but they would definitely get offers from elsewhere. And you have this sort of position of power. You have to use it, because, like, who else is going to stick up for you if you don't stick up for you?
Plus, I don't really buy into? It's this narrative of... people backstage are okay with them being pissed off with creative, but not okay with them, like, leaving them in the lurch.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and I thought, I'm not having that. Like, if it was going to be, and this is no comment on the people I'm going to mention. Yeah. I'm just trying to pick newer people to make my point here. But let's say the main event of Monday Night Raw was going to be Sasha and Naomi, and you were still going to do that bollocks finish where Naomi pinned Sasha, which was dumb, but it was like a fatal four-way pitting Sasha against Naomi against, I'm just going to pick two names that have popped into my head that are relative newcomers on NXT. Cora Jade and, I don't know, bloody Lash Legend, right? Yeah. There's an argument to be made there because I love Cora Jade and Lash Legend, but being told, yeah, you know the two really experienced heads in this match, they've gone and now you need two, two need to face each other.
Yeah.
That, it, for me, is leaving someone in the lurch.
Yeah, 100%.
You don't leave Becky Lynch and Asuka in the lurch.
Yeah. If anything, they'll be like, oh, cool, we've got a singles match in the main event now.
Yeah, and it was great. Like, I didn't watch that. Like, I watched Raw not knowing what had gone on.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of mentioned in passing. I'm half asleep anyway watching these backstage segment where Becky says, oh, Naomi and Sasha have just left. And I thought, oh, maybe that's a story. Maybe that's something to do with the, you know, the, with Dapper and Nikki A.S.H. and all that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, show goes on. And then they had Becky versus Asuka. And I went, well, that was great. Fantastic end to the show. And The Mist and all that. I loved it. So I was like, oh, I didn't feel like I'd been shortchanged. I didn't feel like they didn't know what they were doing. I didn't feel anything like that. But, yeah, I just... I'm not having it.
It's like if our bosses, like tomorrow, turned around and said, Wilbs, this podcast isn't about wrestling anymore. It's about My Little Pony. And from now on, you're going to do four podcasts a day about My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Go off and do it. I would not expect you to sit there grumbling about it and then go off and make four My Little Pony podcasts. I'd expect you to kick up a stink and go, what the hell? We've built this podcast into this huge wrestling thing. It's what we've grown our audience to expect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I wouldn't expect you to sit there in silence and just be, well, this is a bit crap, isn't it? And get on with it.
How many times, and nothing on Naomi, I think Naomi could go to AEW, for example, and be a world championship contender in weeks, 100%. Right? How many times do they need to be reminded how big a star Sasha Banks is?
Yeah, it's ludicrous.
It's bonkers, this.
Absolutely crazy. Like, you see the reactions and, like, the main event at Mania and things, and it's like, she is massive, and she's incredible. She is so, so good.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything for her. We haven't really got anything for you, so can you hold together the entire Royal Rumble match?
Yeah. And it's not like this is new for Sasha either. Like, she's, like, the Stone Cold podcast thing that got started getting shared around, where she was saying to Stone Cold, like, look, I've done my time when I've just kind of got on with it and, like, done what they tell me to, but, like, I'm bigger than that now. I'm going to stand up for myself. It's like, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of people that have done this before me. I'm going to make myself the absolute, like, biggest, best thing I can possibly be and stick up for myself. And I was like, yeah, too right you are. Go, go, do it. And then it's not the first time that she's stood up for herself. Like, she had the time when she was out of WWE for absolutely ages, all over the exact same things. The exact same situations of crappy creative putting her, one of the best wrestlers in the world, in terrible positions where they're not utilizing her to the best of her abilities, or making the most amount of money that they could possibly can out of Sasha Banks.
And also, as an additional point, I fully support Sasha and Naomi and all this. If they'd lost the tag titles to Shayna Baszler and Natalya, I'd have still been backing them up if WWE made the inexplicable decision to have one of them pin the other one and then feed both of them to your women's champions.
Yeah.
Book better.
Absolutely.
Granted, so me and Hamlet sat here last week on SmackDown previewing it and said, I don't know who's got Ronda's going to face now, Charlotte. Yeah. I'm glad that it's not going to be Charlotte anymore.
Yeah.
But we were looking at the roster going, like, Shayna and Natalya are busy with the tag title match.
Yeah.
Like, Xia Li, and
she's in the 24/7 again.
Yeah, credit to WWE, because that Raquel Rodriguez stuff I thought was absolutely sensational on SmackDown last week. That is someone getting over in defeat.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't feed your tag champs to your singles.
And no, like, no offense to Naomi, because Bianca versus Naomi, still a money match. Like, that's still a big thing that they've never done before.
No.
That could easily be a main part of a pay-per-view. Easy peasy, easy peasy. And 100% they should do that in the future at some point. But Sasha versus Ronda is a money match. Like, that's
Royal Rumble, what was it, 20?
It's one of the best of Ronda's first run, like, by far. And, like, Sasha is incredible. Like, that match, if you did this now, like, you could easily build a pay-per-view around that. You could easily sell
the
tickets
stadium
off that.
Show around that. Yeah.
Easy peasy. And you just want to throw it out as a person to make Ronda look a bit stronger for whoever's next.
And I think it would have completely destroyed what they've just managed to rebuild with Ronda as well, doing something like that. Because people would be like, I like Sasha more, so I'm going to cheer for that. And also, the other one would have been what I'd like to call effectively a Canadian main event, which is two of the nicest people trying to out-nice each other. Sorry, did I hit that rear view a little bit too hard? Oh, no, I'd just be gently putting you down in this KOD.
Yeah.
But WWE not the only place that's got problems. AEW, seemingly every week, more and more stories come out in that place. And I've got to talk about a person. I knew about this before the story broke, obviously, because he's my best friend. Obviously, but I wasn't allowed to say anything. But we got to talk about
he's
Maxwell.
He's tweeting Sidgwick now instead.
I saw that.
What's going on there?
let's talk about Maxwell Jacob Friedman, though, because I realize putting my bias to one side, and let's put me into the whole gimmick of this to one side. I as a fan, think he is one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
He has had the best feud in AEW ever. Better than Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. And think about what the bar that is with what he did with CM Punk. Arguably doing similar stuff with with Wardlow right now. And there is talk about him being very unhappy with, not necessarily how he's being treated within AEW, but his pay and whether or not he's being appreciated for the star that he is. Could he go to WWE?
I don't know. This one is fascinating because it's like, as much as the Cody thing was like a huge deal, like he was a WWE guy, he's got ties to WWE going back years and years and years and years and things with his dad and everything like that. MJF is an AEW guy, like as like the most AEW of AEW guys. Like he came up there from the indies. He had that one backstage thing when he was in a Mark Henry skit or something in WWE. But
he walked Joe to the ring, didn't he, in NXT,
But he's never done anything in WWE. He is an AEW guy. So this would be the first transition from pure AEW homegrown talent to WWE. And it would be a huge impact in WWE, I reckon. Him, I have no idea how his run would go in WWE. They'd probably find some way of ruining it. Whether they had to script him or something like that, there's going to be something there. If you
your head examining, yeah,
if you get MJF and you let MJF do MJF things in WWE, that's going to be
because he's not a loose cannon, is he?
No, he knows
where the line is.
Yes,
he'll push it,
and he can very much work within the lines. And like you say, he'll push it to the limit, but he'll work within the lines. And I think he'd be incredible in WWE, and he's the exact kind of guy they would normally go for. Like he's got decent body, decent size, good looks, very, very, very good on the mic, and very good in the ring. And he can put butts in seats at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
100% he can put butts in
seats. He is one of the few people I would compare to sort of like Floyd Mayweather as well, in terms of Floyd Mayweather at his peak. People didn't pay to go and watch Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
They paid to watch Floyd Mayweather lose. They wanted to see that prick lose. Now, it's very different. I'm obviously not implying MJF's a prick. Obviously, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. But there's your character right there.
Absolutely.
Like, this wouldn't be the wrong heat where it's like, I don't want to see you on my screen.
Yeah.
But it would be, God, I despise you.
And imagine the character as well. Like, it'd be the same AEW character. Like, he still plays up the money angle and things like that in AEW. But that with, like, news reports about him moving to WWE for the money to back it up. Like, him goes on the next level of, like, I'm here now. Yeah. I've made it. That would be absolutely incredible. And the kind of just pompous arrogance that could bring out in him would be absolutely amazing.
It's an insane prospect. And
I still think it's him working up everybody to get the best deal that he possibly can. And he'll probably sign with AEW.
Yes,
as long as they throw the same amount of money as WWE, I think he'd... I don't know why. I've got a feeling he'd rather stay with AEW. They've helped build him. They've obviously been really good to him up until now. He's just outgrown where he originally signed and what his original position was by far.
To a certain extent, I do sympathise with Tony Khan, because if Tony Khan's effectively saying, look, you're contracted until 2024. I'm under no obligation to give you a new contract. He should pay the man, pay what he's worth, and especially when you've got all these new people that have been brought in and one would assume with the noise that's being made are on above his pay grade, which shouldn't be the case because he's a world champion elect in my eyes.
And, he will be one day, and he's easily, like, if not at the main event of every single card, he feels like the main event.
If he was missing, you'd notice it. To a certain extent, I do sympathise with TK, though, because of the fact that he's gone, I will pay you what you're worth.
Yeah.
You just got to wait till, I think it's the end of the year, whenever they do the new TV
deals. Let me see
what
the TV deals are.
Because as much as he has unlimited money, he does want to try to balance the books somewhat.
Yes. But when you've got someone like MJF in that position, you know the TV deal's coming. It's pretty obvious that it's going to be quite bigger than the last time. Let's face it, they've done really well. TNT, TBS are very happy with them. I think they're going to be okay when it comes round.
Yeah.
I think Tony could roll the dice on this one and just pay him, personally.
Yes.
But I do get it. You're running a business at the end of the day. You do want it to actually make money.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Before we get to this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, a couple of other things I want to talk to you about. I've got a question regarding freak accidents in a minute because of what happened with Bryan Danielson. Well, it looks like I'm seeing into the future. That's going to happen to him on Rampage tonight. But we have to talk briefly as well about Stephanie McMahon's leave of absence that she's announced, well, yesterday afternoon/evening. She's taking a leave of absence from WWE to spend time with her family. A shock.
Yep.
But also, I don't think there's going to be much made of this in terms of, we've already read in the Observer today, it was her decision, it is her decision. She is going to be coming back. This isn't her done. She's taken some time off to be with her family, which makes sense considering what's gone on with that family over the last, year, basically. Yeah. I said before on the news, you and I both agreed that stuff like this should be normalised, that people 100%. Should just be able to take time off for themselves or their family or whatever it may be. But it is also surreal to think of WWE without Triple H has gone back to work now. Yeah. But
there is only one McMahon in WWE.
Yeah, right, without Shane or Stephanie, and the added wrinkle of Nick Khan taking over her role temporarily. And, well, just... I mean, if you're Kevin Dunn or Bruce Pritchard or bloody John Laurinaitis, you must be thinking, who the hell's this guy? He's doing everything.
Yeah, he came in. We've been here for bloody years. Yeah. We've been sucking up to Vince McMahon for so goddamn long. No, like you say, this 100% should be normalised. It's obviously a personal thing. They want to go and do this for their family, and all power to her for actually managing to do this, especially when you're in such a big, high-pressure corporate position. Like, it can't be an easy thing to step down from. But like I say, I've just got it in my head now. Is Vince McMahon the only McMahon? Is Linda still on the board?
I don't know. Is she doing something in politics?
Can't remember because she did a politics thing, but it did not go very well.
There was something to do with, but then that was with the Trump administration. Yeah. It's murky water.
I don't know what she's doing now. So if it is just Vince, that's the first time ever that there's only been one McMahon.
Quite possibly, yeah.
It's happening. It's happening. We're getting around one day. And yeah, Nick Khan, like. The most powerful man in WWE now, maybe? No, second, probably only still to Vince, but like the...
Whenever we hear about firings, it's not from Vince, is it?
It's not. It's all him. And now he's chief brand officer was Stephanie's thing as well, wasn't it? And
he's WWE president.
President, yeah.
Something else as well.
It's quite a lot. Be interesting to see. I mean, like they say, there's no way that this happens and Stephanie McMahon's position isn't made available to her again when she comes back. This isn't like...
It's a sabbatical,
yeah, this isn't like leaving a job and then wondering whether it's going to be there. Your dad runs the place. It's still definitely going to be there. But yeah, like I say, all power to her. Good on you. Go do what's right for your family. Get yourself sorted. Do whatever it is that you need to do and then come back when you're ready. It's fine.
Right, let's talk freak accidents.
Hey.
Brian Danielson, my spidey senses are tingling, is telling me he's going to suffer a freak accident on Rampage tonight. All right, I think he got his leg trapped between like the
That's
ramp.
A bold
and the,
prediction.
Yeah, the ramp and the ring.
Yeah, because the ramp goes all the way up to the ring, like flat with the ring canvas, and I guess he slipped his leg between the ramp and the ring, and then that ramp is massive, and the ring is heavy and also massive.
It just reminds me when I hear about people like getting trapped between like the platform and a train.
Yeah.
You know, like on I was a tube
at,
or something.
I think it was Leeds Festival and System of a Down were playing, and right at the very front, the fence fell over and someone got trapped underneath like the fence.
Oh, God.
And the like metal stuff that they put over the grass.
Yeah.
And like somehow got trapped underneath there because the whole crowd suddenly shunted forward.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like,
Jesus Christ.
So yeah,
I wanted to
ask you about your freak accidents because I think we've all suffered them. I distinctly remember once playing football. It might have been on a street, like a quiet street, obviously, but a street near a pond, and the ball went into the pond. But it was close enough to the edge to be able to go and get it. And these like these two wooden two brick struts that went out into it. It was between. And I was like, oh, don't worry, boys. I'll go and get in and jump over the fence. All very stupid. And, you know, people do this sort of thing when you're young. Reached to get the ball and then suddenly thought, oh, I'm going in this pond. And I reached out my arms to try and break my fall. And I broke my arm the other brick strut trying to break my fall. So not only was I, like, doused in disgusting pond water. I got the ball back. Oh, I was doused in disgusting pond water. I had to trudge home just, like, in wet shoes. And then I was like... And by the way, this arm don't feel good either. And I broke up. So I think it was one of those ones where maybe it was a little bit of a saving grace because otherwise people would have been like, ah, you fell in the pond.
Yeah.
But they were like, ah, you fell in the pond, but how's your arm? Is it all right?
Like you would have been called pond scum for the rest of your
life. Yeah, exactly. But I think you and I are quite similar in terms of these are the sort of things that happen to us on a relatively regular basis.
Yeah, I've definitely got quite a few. I was thinking, like, when you mentioned this before, I was like, I don't know how many of mine are freak accidents or just me being an absolute idiot. But I guess the best ones that come to mind was when I was a kid and I got a mattress and I was sliding down the stairs on the mattress, like you do, obviously.
If you can a young wrestling fan, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Obviously. I was a Mick Foley fan, remember? and I was sliding down the stairs and like I nudged into the banister or something and it knocked me off the mattress. So then I just fell down the stairs and then hit my head on the like corner of the edge of the radiator at the bottom.
No giving that.
Ended up with 8 stitches in my head. And this was the day before I was going on holiday. So I wasn't allowed to get my stitches wet, so I wasn't allowed to go in the sea or the pool or anything.
Oh, I did that. I think I broke the other arm jumping off a trampoline. We were like a game around my mate's house. Like, how far can you jump? What could possibly go wrong there? Propel yourself forward as fast as possible to see how far you could jump. Landed on my arm, broke it, and I had to wear a, what they call, marigold on my arm. And I couldn't go in there. I couldn't go in the big kids' pool.
Yeah.
I was too big for the little kids' pool. So they're all like paddling and they've got water wings on. And I'm just like, oh, I want to go on the slides and stuff, but I've got my arm and doing all this.
Excellent. Amazing. I was trying to think, like, I don't think I ever got injured when I was just play wrestling as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, and I jumped off my garage. Did I mention I'm a Mick Foley fan? I jumped off my garage roof and did the whole, like, the exact Dude Love spot, basically, that he did in his own video. And I was fine. And I did a swanton off a ladder onto mattresses in my garden. Obviously, like you do. Absolutely fine. So I don't think I ever got injured like that. But I do. The other one that I distinctly remember is, so this is just me being drunk. I left my jacket in a club or something that we were in. And it had my keys in the pocket.
Ugh.
So I couldn't get in. So I was like, well, my house was like, it was on the first floor. And it was just above like a bay window. So it's like, if I can get onto the bay window, I can just open that window and I'm in and I'm fine. So I was like, there's a fence right next to the bay window. Jump up into the fence, jump up into the bay window, in my flat. Easy peasy, you would think. Unfortunately, the fence had spikes on it.
Oh, no.
And I jumped up onto the fence. And just as I pushed off to jump up onto the bay window, my foot slipped off the fence and I fell straight down and impaled myself.
Oh!
I still have a dent in my leg from where I did this.
Oh, God.
And impaled myself on the spike on top of the railing, right into like my thigh. It's like just there, you can see, like just on my thigh, and I've got like a little dent there. And I was like, I had to like physically lift myself off the thing, and then I like felt my leg. I was like, well, I'm going to the hospital, I guess. It didn't hurt because I was really drunk. But and then I was at the hospital, and the doctor was like putting his little finger up inside the hole to see if there was any bits of reeling in there and stuff. It was really gross.
Yeah, I love those. I think I've told you about this one before. You see that they cut there on my hand that goes like that, the little scar. It looks like I could have lost my little finger, which I probably could have. I was at uni first year and I'd had some pre-drinks and I was getting ready before we went out. I was like doing my hair in the mirror and make myself look very, very bad looking back at those photos. And there was a little, just a silver metal towel rail that just was just on the, as you opened the door, it was just behind that. And it was very, like, uni halls, like, what's the minimum we can spend on this sort of thing? And for whatever reason, I'm like looking at myself, I'm doing my hair in the mirror, and I just go to lean on this metal rail to, like, hey, you were all right, the finger guns at yourself. And the metal rail broke. And the bit that was, there was a bit jutting out that took it out of the wall. And my hand just went down on it. And I was like, I assume this was the same as you when you lifted yourself off that bloody spike. Where I went, ow. And then I went, uh-oh, that's a lot of blood.
Yep, that's bad.
Because I went to run it under the tap. You know, normally you run it under the tap and you go, and I was like, oh no. So I'm like grabbing my hand. And I couldn't go to the girl who lived next door to me in halls because she told me very early on, I'm sick, I pass out at the sight of blood. And I was like, well, it looks like shining in here. So I had to ring my mate who was like down the other end of halls and be like, all right, mate, you're all right with blood, aren't you? Because I'm going to need someone to come in. Like, and then they like patched me up and took me to, I went to hospital and I went on like an annoying night that was just like, hey, Party Central in Birmingham. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a long old while. And they unwrapped I went to the doctor, well, whatever, you know, the on-call person in the halls, because presumably they were just like, well, none of the dickheads injured themselves. And they wrapped it all up to sort of slow the bleeding. And then when I went to hospital, they were like, what have you done to your hand? And I was like, I've done this. And they opened it up to look at it, and they went, oh, yeah, you're going to need stitches in that. And they went, cool, just sit over there. But they didn't reapply the dressing. So my hand was just like, cool, time to pump some more blood out. So I had to go back to the reception and say, I'm really sorry, I'm bleeding all over your floor. they were like, okay, we'll get that scene too. And again, I had to have like butterfly stitches and then marigold. I had to put my hand out of the shower whenever I was showering and just one-handed like shower gel myself. It was just...
Excellent.
But yes, so Brian, don't worry, you're not alone.
Yeah.
In fact, in response to this podcast, on the tweet that we send out from What Culture WWE, send us some of your freak accidents.
Yeah.
Because don't make me and Phil feel like we are
the only idiots.
But anyway, enough all that. It's now time for a
bloody good quiz.
And this week's quiz is brought to you by Wes. And it's not only brought to you by Wes, it's written by Wes.
Right.
Very topical. Thank you so much for this, Wes, who writes, what culture, what culture, what culture, my dear friends, especially you, Adam Wilborn, back at it again, slaving over a hot computer screen to slap out these episodes of Wrestle Culture along with the bloody good quizzes. Don't you deserve better? Well, I'm here for you guys. Right off of the press, I've got a Boss Glow bloody good quiz for you that works just right along with the week's biggest news about Naomi and Sasha Banks, two of my absolute favourites in WWE. But you know who my absolute favourites in podcasting are? Well, let me tell you, they're British, they love wrestling, and there's way too many Adams on their roster, but I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to give you all the biscuits in New Zealand because Sweden didn't have enough. All the best, Wes. Thank you, Wes.
Thank
for
you,
this.
Wes.
And thanks for writing this quiz because, yeah, it's been a, as always, I don't know why I say this, it's always a mad old week at What Culture, but especially this week in wrestling, it's just been insane. So a simple one this, Phil, as I mentioned, this is all about the Boss Glow connection. Sasha Banks and Naomi. The answers to all of these questions, and there's 20 of them. We're going to do a bit of a speed round here.
Okay.
20 of them. It's not even really a question. It's just sort of a statement.
Yeah.
And you have to tell me if this applies to Sasha Banks,
ooh,
Naomi, both of them, or neither of them.
Okay.
How confident are you feeling about
not
this?
Not very.
Okay. So Sasha, Naomi, both or neither. Okay. Who from the Boss Glow connection.
Yeah.
Raises two children with her husband.
Hmm. Do they have two children? Naomi.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, what am I doing?
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
Yay!
technically stepkids. They are Jimmy's from a previous relationship, but it still counts. Yep. Good. 100% so far.
Yes. Okay. And that's the end of the quiz.
Which of them, of course, could be both or neither, mm-hmm. won the women's championship with a submission finisher?
Ooh. Did Naomi really do submission finishers? I don't know. Sasha.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It is both of them. Sasha, obviously, bank statement. Naomi's submission win over Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania 33, which is so long ago now, I can't remember it, but I'll take your word for it, Wes. which of them makes their own wrestling gear? Could be both, could be neither
could be
as well.
Both. Ooh. Ooh, I'm going to go, God damn it, both. I want to say both.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Is it Naomi?
It's neither.
Sasha? Neither.
Neither
okay.
of them. That's Bianca Belair. Sasha's is made
Bianca
by
Belair,
her husband, Sarathton. I hope I've got that name right. That's who makes Sasha's gear. What was it she was at the Royal Rumble? Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon stuff, yeah.
Okay, next one. Which of them has never been a heel?
Has Naomi ever been a heel? She must have been at some point. Surely. She's not gone this long, neither.
Yay!
she had a short run against Paige, and she was in...
the tag team thing. Team Bad.
Team Bad.
Team Bad.
And Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is just the best at being a heel. She's great at being a babyface. She's great at both.
Yeah,
but
she's better at being a heel.
I do want to do this weekend. I keep saying this. I'm going to do this myself. Is watch that WWE Evil series.
Yeah,
the,
I've not watched
any of
that.
The video package that makes it look really good. And I've seen that bit of Randy Orton just throw himself up. I think that's 50% so far.
That's fine.
Two
I'll
from
take
four.
That.
which of them has feuded with their best friend in the ring and fought them on pay-per-view?
Well, we know one of them at least has. Who's Naomi's best friend? I've no idea. Sasha.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It is both of them.
Who's
Sasha and Bailey.
Best
Cameron.
Oh,
from the Funkadactyls.
Oh, of course. I'd completely forgot she even existed.
Battleground, apparently.
They get a pay-per-view match. Well done, them.
Yeah. And, I mean, Sasha and Bailey, where do you want to start?
Obviously.
But Hell in a Cell is an obvious one. Which of these has never ended a match via a top rope finisher? Could be both, could be neither.
Never ended a match. Naomi.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Split leg and moonsault.
Oh, of course.
And it was neither. Sasha pinned neither. Bailey with a
frog splash.
I thought
Sasha must have done a, yeah.
Of course, Eddie.
Of course.
Okay, this is an either or. Which one of them was the first black woman to win SmackDown's women's title?
Who came first? Who did come first? Naomi.
Yay!
Was. They did that thing where they gave it to her and then she was like injured and they took it away from her and you were like, you're going to give it back at WrestleMania though, aren't you? Which one of them has formed a tag team with Asuka as well as challenging Asuka for the championship in the same year?
Naomi.
Yay!
September and December, respectively. Great
Excellent.
Quiz, these ways. Which one of them has been submitted or tapped out?
Ooh, Naomi surely has. I'm guessing you can still go both or neither.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha must have both.
Yay!
Yes! Which of them has won a championship via submission?
Won a championship. Sasha.
Yay!
In your stride.
Yeah, here we go. Got this down.
Okay.
It's about to fall down completely.
Which of them, again, it could be both or could be neither, has had more than 5 heel runs on the main roster? On the main roster as well. That's key to remember.
Sasha has changed a lot. Not quite Big Show levels. I'm going to go Sasha.
No, dear, that's
wrong. Neither of them, four, according to Wes. Team Bad, Role Models, Becky, Bianca. Naomi, as we mentioned, only two. Team Bad and against Paige. Which one of them has never had pyro during an entrance?
Naomi.
Yay!
I still love
WrestleManias.
For someone who doesn't have pyro, which
she's got a great entrance.
And it's one of the few. I was talking to someone in the pub about this the other night, about like how crap a lot of themes have gone.
Yeah. It's the complete package, Naomi. It's like the look with the way the clothes glow and everything like that. The lasers,
like try
the
hard,
music.
Yeah.
All of it is so, so good.
It was just an amazing thing, but it really annoys me, the current themes. Like, they've just changed the Lexus.
Oh, yeah, so bad.
They just changed the Lexus, and I was like, why?
It's like they're just basic creator wrestler themes. work, wee, wee. Yeah, get the CFOs back immediately. They really, really miss them.
Yes.
Really, really miss them.
Which one of them has been a professional wrestler for 14 years or longer?
Ooh, Naomi's going to be going a long time now. I'd imagine, Sasha. 14 years. Both of them.
No, dear, that's wrong.
The opposite.
Neither. Sasha started training since 2008, but her in-ring debut came in 2010.
I see. I think she started in the 2000s.
Which one of them has wrestled under their real name?
In WWE or just in general?
I think this is just in general from what I'm reading here.
Neither.
No, dear, no, that's wrong.
Fun.
Miss Mercedes for Sasha and Mercedes KV. And Naomi has wrestled as Trinity and Trinity McCraw.
Nice.
Which one of them won the FCW Championship?
Neither.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Lost it. I lost my touch.
Sasha never in FCW, but yeah. Naomi was the inaugural FCW Divas Champion in June 2010. But isn't it an interesting question? Which current AEW star did she defeat?
2010.
Yes, I'll give you another clue. This person was ranting about her time in WWE.
Serena Deeb.
Very recently, yes.
God.
That really, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent here. That really pissed me off that people were like, was this promo any good or not? And I was like, sorry, can we not, like, I feel like you've missed what she said that they made her do.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the Toni Storm story coming out recently.
Yeah, they're like, wanting to rip off her top, and then instead they just covered her in jizz.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely ridiculous. And even, like, whatever in the promo, like, she still said it with passion and things. Yeah. Like, just ignore that, like,
plus,
one little stumble.
Plus, you know, not to dismiss it, because I've just realised I'm just doing that now. Awful stuff that they encouraged her to do. And I still think this straight edge society is really underrated, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But, the fact that you have Serena Deeb, you have her doing stuff like the FCW Divas Championship, and then you still have her, and you go, you're a coach. Look at what she's done in AEW.
She's been incredible. And again, who was it that like found someone and pointed them out and was like, I want them on my team? CM Punk, yet again. Like, the guy can pick talent. Like, between that and the Shield guys and Luke Gallows and things, he's pretty good at picking out talent, is not CM Punk.
Right, where are we now? I apologize. I may have miscounted here. Which one of these has competed in a ladder match? Got to go with Wes's thing here, so I don't know if it's true or not.
Sasha.
See, I was thinking that.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It's just Naomi.
They 100% would have done that. Lisa, she can just do a frog splash
maybe
up the top
like
of a ladder.
Lot of
maybe it was a TLC
or
Money in the Bank or something that I'm thinking of. I definitely remember her as a picture of her on a ladder.
Which one of them's competed in a street fight?
Sasha.
Yay!
That is Sasha Banks. Yeah, of course. Which one of them has competed in an elimination chamber? Could be both, could be neither.
Both, surely.
Yay! Yes.
And
they've not got that many people in the women's roster.
I don't know how many I've done now, so I'm going to do one more, and then I'm going to do tiebreaker because it's a great question.
Okay.
Which one of them has competed, or both, or neither, in a beat the clock challenge?
Sasha has, I'm pretty sure. Naomi? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, both.
Yay!
They fought each other.
Of course.
Which is great. I don't remember it, but that's fantastic. Should we do the tiebreaker? It's just for fun.
Yeah, it's just for fun.
According to, what a source this is, uscookies.com, in how much merch in US dollars did Sasha Banks and Naomi sell combined in 2021?
Ooh.
This is going to sound bad for Naomi, but let's be honest, it's Sasha Banks, yeah. Right? But if there ever was an example of why the fuck wouldn't you push this woman and recognize what you've got, it's the number we're about to get to. So in dollars, how much did they sell in merch combined in 2021?
I have genuinely no idea. Like, I don't even know what a reasonable guess would be.
Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
Okay, it's less than $500,000, but it's more than 50,000.
That's strange. 369,000.
Nice. It is $254,000, right? $250,000.
$250,000.
Slight discrepancy in how it's divided.
Uh-oh.
Naomi, $12,000 of worth. Well, $13,000 worth of merch. Sasha Banks, $240,000, according to uscookies.com, in merch. And they still go, job you out to Ronda? Not that I'm saying that she would have been jobbed out to Ronda, obviously, but...
No, but she was going to lose.
But what...
Jesus.
This is the story that I'm going to be keeping up to date with across the weekend, because, my word, how on earth WWE... I'm not even mad. I'm amazed.
Just disappointed.
Just... just apologise. Give them the tag belts back. Say, here's how we're going to book you for the next 6 months. Put a world title on arguably both of them at some point.
Yeah.
Or just make these tag titles mean something again.
You can always just do that.
You did say you were going to do that to Sasha about 3 years ago.
Yep. Shut it down that time. Sasha's legit in my like top probably five, maybe even three like wrestlers going today.
Yeah. Yeah, not even female. Like Andy was saying on the news, like she's the best, arguably the best female wrestler in the world. Yeah, I think that there's
she absolutely is. She's incredible. Definitely.
But yeah, the fact that, yeah, let's not just say women wrestlers in terms of.
Yeah.
Insane. But thank you, Wes, for that quiz. And congratulations. I think you did pretty well there. You got good, some decent knowledge.
I noticed you weren't counting at all.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you, but I think you got above 50% on that.
I'll take that.
And that's, considering the options, there was four different options.
It's better than guessing.
Well, let us know how you got on the Sasha Naomi both or neither quiz, as I'm now calling it, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, and don't forget watch it there, please, to make me and Phil feel a little bit better. Let us know about your freak accidents. We've had that.
Oh, just times you were an idiot like us.
We've had that and things that are noises you don't like on the news this morning. But you can let us know is that on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers. You can follow Adam at
Adam Wilborn. Follows all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We've got the SmackDown preview and the Rampage preview, talking about some of the stuff we've already discussed, available right now. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. Thanks once again to Wes for the quiz. My thanks to Phil Chambers for joining me today. Thank you for joining us as well. And we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.